How many of you ever heard the term apocalypse? I think most of us have. Very briefly, the word apocalypse means an event involving destruction or damage on an awesome or catastrophic scale. And so often that word is associated with what we refer to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse, speaking of four riders, each on his own horse, coming to earth during the time of the book of Revelation and, you know, bringing great destruction and so forth. There's a white, a red, a black, and a pale horse. However, tonight we're going to talk about the four horsemen, but we're going to talk about the four horsemen of inner apocalypse. And those four horsemen are worry, fear, stress, and anxiety. Because those four horsemen, left unchecked, will bring about an awesome or catastrophic amount of damage to the inner person. Completely destroy you. I don't care if you're born again or not. Doesn't matter. Born again or lost. They will destroy you. I did a little research. Oh, and by the way, yes, there was a sermon similar to this not too long ago here that I delivered. And for whatever reason, I'm to do this again. It's not the same sermon, a little bit different, but it's addressing some of the same issues. And the only reason I can think of is that we've got people in this church or watching, or listening, or both, you need to hear this again because you're still not exercising your victory over this. And apparently God sees this as worse than what you may think it is. And you'll understand as we go further in this. Anyway, I went to a medical website and copied over quite a bit of information, but I'm summarizing it for the sake of time. But worrying is a feeling, it's feeling uneasy or being overly concerned about a situation or problem. With excessive worrying, your mind and body go into overdrive as you constantly focus on what might happen. That right there, I know for a fact, describes some of the people in this church. I know it does. So, well, how do you know that? I listen to you talk. And the key in this one is the mind and body going into overdrive as you constantly focus on what might happen. Not so much what has happened, but what might happen. And I'll just tell you, quite honestly, my experience, my own life, and in interaction with other people, most of the time, the what might happen never does. It doesn't. I read a sign one time, I think this was by Will Rogers, worrying is like paying on a debt that may never come due. Now, worrying leads to various levels of anxiety during waking hours and can produce feelings of panic. Now, as I go through this, I just want you to think about yourself and create a mental checklist. You know, has that been me? Yeah, that one's been me. That one's been me. Nope, not that one. But this one's been me. Just listen to some of these. Just listen to all these and see if you can relate at all. Worrying leads to various levels of anxiety during waking hours and can produce... Oh, before I go any further than this, this was talking about, you know, anxiety during waking hours, but it can also produce bad dreams and nightmares. It carries over. You create like an inner atmosphere of disruption in your mind, and so when you go to sleep, you're actually creating your own nightmares and bad dreams. And that's what it can do. but it leads to various levels of anxiety during waking hours and can produce feelings of panic, impending doom, or unrealistic fears that only increase the worries. There is often ultra-sensitivity to criticism, real or perceived, and anything and anyone may be seen as a potential threat. In other words, you begin to get paranoid. Everybody's against me. They're talking about me. Those folks over there, they were whispering, and they kind of looked over my direction. They were talking about me. I know they were. I know they were. What were they saying? Oh, boy. This goes on. More than what many people would like to admit. Who wants to talk about this? Because when you talk about dealing with these kind of things, quite frankly, you feel like you're admitting that I'm a total failure. Well, are you? I don't know that failure is the right word. Maybe failing is the better word. Failing what? Well, you'll understand here in a little bit. Appetite, lifestyle habits, relationships, sleep, and job performance can be impacted, sometimes drastically. Some people become so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, cigarette smoking, using alcohol, using drugs, or could even be promiscuity. Now listen to this one. Even thinking about the troubling situation can cause great distress. Behavior can become so irrational that you can't focus on reality or think clearly. There can be difficulty shaking the worries. When that happens, there may be actual physical symptoms such as difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, a fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervousness, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling and twitching, suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, muscle tension, short-term memory loss, premature coronary artery disease, and heart attack. Now, in this list, I have described what some people attending this church have gone through. I know it. I'm not saying male or female, but I'm just telling you, I know it. And it's happened sometimes here in this sanctuary after a service. Because people have come to me at times in the anxiety, the worry, the fear, the stress. It is all over their face. It is in their voice. And it's in what they're saying. And it's at times like that when, for me, it's extremely difficult to properly minister to someone, because when they're going through that, it's really hard for anything rational to be conveyed. Because it's almost like I'm talking and the person's looking at me, the eyes are open, but nobody's home. And there's not a whole lot I can do. Now, there are some people going to tell you, well, they've got a demon. No. No. They're allowing their emotions to take over. And all of these physical symptoms, another way to put it is sometimes people can, what we might say, lose touch with reality. And they can't seem to make sense of what's going on. Well, what's going on is they're being attacked by the four horsemen of inter-apocalypse. And the thing is, when you talk to people who are going through that, sometimes you can tell them, okay, here is what is happening. And they may look you right in the eye and deny it. No, I'm not worrying. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Really, I'm not. I'm not stressed out. There's not anxiety. No, I'm not fearful. Yeah, you are. You have lost touch with reality because you do not recognize what's happened to yourself. And right now, your mind is not working right. And no matter what I say or anybody else, you're not getting it. Now, see, what happens is, if that person does not do what they need to do to beat this thing, it will not go away. It's not a demon. It's not a demon. But it won't go away. And I can pray and lay hands, and I mean, I dump a bucket of oil on you. But it's not going to change, because at that point, you have to at least accept, all right, you're telling me that if I do this over here, it'll change. That's right. Well, then do it. Just do it. And you don't stop. You don't stop. You keep attacking, and you keep attacking, and you keep attacking. And you don't stop. And if you do what I'm telling you, if you do what is revealed in the Word, you will win. And you can get to the point to where you never again encounter this. Never. I'm serious. Never. Now, if excessive worrying and anxiety go untreated, they can lead to depression and even suicidal thoughts. Now, I'm not even going to ask how many people here thought about killing yourself. No. We're not asking that. Is it possible that some in the church here have thought about that? Oh, yeah, really possible. But listen, I'm going to give you a heads up, and I hope this sticks with you. If you ever think of trying to kill yourself, it's like going to Las Vegas and rolling the dice. Here's why. You take a gun. You say, all right, boom, I'm going to shoot myself. Right in the head. Okay. Well, how do you know that you're going to be able to keep your hand steady enough so that when that gun shoots, you really do kill yourself? Because if you move just slightly, what you're going to do is blow off part of your face. You'll blow your eyes out of the socket. You'll blow your cheekbones out. But you live. You will live in that grotesque state. You will live. Well, then, okay, forget that. I'll hang myself. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what? Have you ever been choked? Okay? You know how you start gagging, and you know how your body starts doing conniptions? You know, just jerking, trying to be unchoked? Are you sure that you're going to be able to do that? I mean, are you sure you're going to be able to endure that? Because if you go to commit suicide like that, and then whatever it is you're trying to do to, like, hang yourself, if you pass out and the rope breaks and your brain has gone without oxygen for a certain amount of time and you live, you know, you could be a vegetable, somewhat aware of your surrounding and what is going on, but laying in a bed, unable to do anything, unable to communicate for the next 20, 30, 50 years. You want to take that chance? Okay, well, forget that. Then I'll go out in the garage. I'll start the car. Okay, yeah, you can do that. But still, how do you know that when you pass, see, you pass out before you die. How do you know that when you pass out, you're actually going to die? What if you don't? What if the car shuts off? What if somebody comes and finds you? And again, oxygen deprivation in the brain, and you could end up that vegetable in the nursing home. Well, okay, forget that. Then I know. I will, I'll take a bunch of pills. Okay, take a bunch of pills. Go ahead. But do you realize there's no way to know for sure how many pills you need to take before you die? You know, you take 10 pills and you survive, but it only takes 8 pills for this person over here tonight. You don't know. And if you take X number of pills and you think that's going to kill you and it doesn't, you could still end up being that vegetable. Well, okay, then I'll just I'll tie a rock, big old rock around my waist and jump into the river. Have you ever been underwater and felt like you were going to drown? Do you know how horrible that is? I mean, seriously, you want to experience that? No, you don't. Well, then I'll jump off a building. Do you know what? You're going to jump off that building, and as soon as you do, hear me now, as soon as you do, you're going to be thinking, dear God in heaven, what have I done? But it's, and you're probably going to try to fly. But it's not going to work. And you might or might not die. You might end up splat and so much brain damage or a quadriplegic. I mean, you don't know. Well, in that case, I'll just get something and like cut my wrists. Really? You're going to endure that kind of pain? And what if you bleed so much that you pass out, but somebody finds you, and again, the brain damage thing. And what I'm getting at is this. There's really no surefire way to kill yourself. So you might as well just live. Because you may or may not be successful. And then, have you ever thought about, if you're not successful, you will bankrupt your family as they try to take care of you in the nursing home. Now, that's some kind of a legacy, isn't it? You selfish thing. And if you are successful, who's going to be proud of you? Nobody. You and I both know what they're going to think of you. And the thing is, you don't want people thinking that stuff of you now. So, suicide really isn't the answer because there's no guarantee you will succeed. None. This whole thing of the four horsemen of inner apocalypse, because you're born again, you have the ability to beat it. You can stop them in their tracks. See, worrying, or you can throw in any of them, the stress, the fear, the anxiety, it's a result of our emotions being trained to trust the flesh and human reasoning to produce answers to problems. Because when you're worrying and the anxiety and the stress and the fear, there is no trust in God. None. Our new nature is far more powerful than the flesh and the accompanying temptations to give in to those emotions. And every time something bad happens, we have a choice. We worry about it. And you know, I've observed there are some people, Christians now I'm talking, they'll tell you they're not worrying, they'll tell you they're not stressed, they'll tell you they're not, you know, the anxiety, they'll tell you that it's none of that, when it is. The problem is that they have made that, the four horsemen of inner apocalypse, they have made that so much a part of their lifestyle. It's how they live, and they don't even realize it. But that's just what they do. And if you confront them over it, they will deny it. But it's there. It's absolutely there. Now, everybody gets upset about things from time to time. Okay, I get that. Even Jesus got pretty upset, you know, the money changers thing. But he wasn't worried. He wasn't stressed out. Follow me? There was no fear. So for us as believers, we have to come to this place of understanding that, you know, until we train ourselves to appeal to our new nature, who we are in Christ, until we do that, then what's going to happen is the emotions are going to continue to team with the flesh to produce worry, stress, fear, and anxiety. There's no other way. It will happen, okay? It's impossible for it not to happen. It is going to happen. Somebody could say, oh, that's a terrible confession. Okay, tell me how I'm wrong. If you're a Christian and you're not appealing to the power of your new nature, then when stuff happens, you're going to get worked up. You're going to be all boo-hoo-y, cry-y, worrying. You're going to call people and tell everybody how worried you are without using that word. But that's what it is. And yet, on the inside, there's something that says, I shouldn't be like this. There's something in here that's saying, wait a second. No. Don't have to be like that. And with some Christians, when you ask them about it, their response will be, I don't know why I'm like that. Mama was like that. Daddy was, I guess that's just, oh, don't even say it. Don't you even say anything about a generational curse. Don't do it. I'll let Barry slap you silly if you do. I'm joking. Oh no, I'm worried. He's going to have Barry hit me. Barry's not going to hit you. Prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Help us to become more aware of the new nature so that we can appeal to it when the emotions are saying, hey, let's worry. Hey, anxiety. Let's have a party. Ooh, fear. Yeah. Stress. Mm-hmm. There are people in this congregation, I'm going to go so far as to say there are people in this congregation, some of the physical battles you're going through can be traced all the way back to the four horsemen of inner apocalypse. And if you get this under control, if you exercise your authority as a believer over this, your healing will manifest. Now, I know this applies differently to different people, and I'm not saying every single person and every single malady and physical affliction or whatever. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is for some people, yeah, I believe it. I firmly believe it. How many of you have ever been so nervous you almost threw up? Well, maybe not all of you, but some. Okay, that is part of what we're talking about here. Shouldn't be like that. Ever. Never. So why is it? It's because we're not trusting God. That's really what it comes down to. You know, we sang some songs earlier in the pre-service worship that talked about, now I'm going to summarize it here, basically, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 of the songs literally mentioned fear in the song and how that, you know, well, fear is not going to work on me. Now, those weren't the words, but that's a summary. Fear is not going to work on me because of who I am in Christ. Okay, now, we sang that. But did you catch what you were singing? Did you really understand what you were saying? Because it's amazing, you know, we can stand and say, and then, see, you can tell when people really don't believe this because they can stand and sing songs like that, and then later on, there it is. Exactly what we sang that we've beaten. But there it is. This kind of stuff, it will tear you apart. Now, what I'm going to do is read to you some passages of Scripture. If you believe these, then use them. Because, see, one of the things that you can do when you start having those the feelings, and everybody, you know what I'm talking about, the feelings of the worry, the feelings of the stress, the feelings of the anxiety, those feelings that make you want to start saying, well, okay, well, we got to do something. I mean, what are we going to do? We can't just sit around and do nothing. That's worry. No, Brother Martin, that's concern. No, that's worry. Concern is, well, I'm not really sure what to do right now, but I know we'll figure it out. And this is, again, where Christians don't get it. Because they're so accustomed to living in that state of worry. I mean, it comes and goes. And they let it. Well, how in the world can we truly go forward with God when, you know, we're a meltdown waiting to happen? How? How can we do that? We're going to have good days, going to have bad days. back and forth, back and forth. It's not supposed to be like that. Not relative to what we're sharing here. Now listen to these verses. And this is just a sampling. There's so many in Scripture that reinforce what we're reading here. In Psalm 32:7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." This may sound kind of weird, but if you apply Psalm 32:7 to your life, you will start hearing worship rise up in your spirit. And that is, I don't know how to explain it, but you know, God reminding you of this, pulling those up from your memory, replaying them. Like this tonight, what we had in the pre-service, there were some excellent songs that you could begin to sing. "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." What do you do with that one? God, you are my refuge and you are my strength. You are my very present help in trouble. I will not worry. I won't. Because God, you are the opposite of worry to me. Psalm 55:22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." He will sustain you. Cast it over unto him. He will sustain you. And when you cast it over unto him, there can't be a rope attached to it. You know, that's like a fishing line with bait. You throw it out there, the fish thinks, "Hey, I got a free worm." Say, "No, you don't think so. Reel you in. Here, God, I'm casting this over onto you, and in 5 minutes, I'm pulling it back." God said, "Hey, all right, well, you know, I thought you were going to give it to me, but if that's what you want, but I'm still on the throne. I'm still here." Psalm 56:11. "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." I won't be afraid. They're talking about me. "You're afraid." "Well, no, I'm..." "Yeah, you are." "No, I'm..." "Yeah, you are." "Well, what are they saying? What difference does it make? The only thing that should matter to you is what God says about you. That's my son. That's my daughter. My righteousness. That's my joy. That's my redemption. You follow what I'm saying? That's a joint heir with my son, Jesus. These are the things God says about you. Now, you need to come in line with that. In Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26, see if this sounds familiar from this morning. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You live by that? That song that we sang this morning made me glad. Hey, that is a song you need. I mean, if this is the kind of stuff you battle, you need to sing that song. "You have made me glad, and I will say of the Lord, my portion, my deliverer." I mean, you're declaring everything that's opposite of what it is that's trying to take over your life. Amen. This kind of stuff, those four horsemen of the inner apocalypse, if you don't keep those things in check, if you don't beat them, if you don't knock them down, it's possible that eventually they could cause you, as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, to be locked up somewhere. "You shouldn't say those things." It can happen. Is that your legacy? Is that what you want as a testimony? Listen, one of the things that I've come to realize is that people can be so caught up, worry, stress, fear, anxiety, they completely forget their testimony to other people. And then on the good days, they try to tell people how good and faithful God is to them. It's like, wait a minute, 3 days ago, you're about ready to kill everyone. 3 days ago, you're boo-hooing. 3 days ago, you're going into the boss. 3 days ago, you're screaming, ready to quit. 3 days ago, you were a mess. Nobody wanted to be around you. And now you want to preach to us about the faithfulness of God? Are you serious? Why should I listen to you? You obviously don't know the God you say you trust. But see, we don't even think about that. Oh, and by the way, if you do decide you want to commit suicide, what kind of testimony is that? When I preach your funeral, how in the world can I stand up and say, well, dear Guido, he trusted the Lord, but the Lord let him down? I mean, seriously? No way. And if you think I'm going to back off at your funeral, if you kill yourself, I'm not. I'm going to address the problem, and I will tell your family ahead of time. I'm going to let people know what happened, how that you got your eyes off God. So you need to know ahead of time, that's what I will be saying at your funeral if you kill yourself. Now, I know it's going to embarrass you, but you won't be around to hear it. So don't worry. And some of your family may get mad at me, but why in the world should I hide the truth? And make people think, well, you know, we don't know why it happened. I do. As a Christian, you got your eyes off God. That's what happened. Because what you did to yourself would contradict the promises of God. And God cannot lie. But you lost sight of this. Hey, we all go through battles. I get it. All of us. I'm not immune. You're not immune. Listen to this. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Sometimes it's a battle to keep your mind focused on the Lord. Let me tell you what I do. There are times when, what's a good way to put this? Okay, there are times when I want this perfect peace, all right? Now, God has said he's going to keep me in perfect peace if my mind is stayed on him. So what I do mentally, and I think I've shared this before, my mouth not even open, forcing my mind to do all the work. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I love you. I worship you. I praise you, Jesus. I'm not speaking it out loud. I'm forcing my mind to do all the work, to be doing all the thinking, to be doing all the praising. My mind, I'm doing this verse. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on him. And I'll tell you what, it's incredible. It works. Because your mind starts to respond to all of that. You can actually get to the point where you forget what you were thinking about worrying over. Listen to this one. Isaiah 51:11. Now, this is a good one. Like all of them aren't, okay? But, all right. This is one we used to sing. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. We used to sing that years ago. Remember that? Yeah. Some of you don't remember that. Reprobate hate. What church did you go to? Now, I'm just joking around with you. But that song goes back a whole many, many years ago. I mean, that song was before a bunch of you were even born. That was a long time ago, man. Good memories. But see how simple that was? With singing unto Zion, everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They're going to obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Glory to God. That's what we want. This is a promise. God is saying this is how you can live every day. Listen to this one, Isaiah 54:14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Terror, you can walk in so much peace, joy, happiness. He has made me glad that terror is afraid to come near. That sounds interesting. Terror is afraid. But you understand what I mean by that and what God is saying. Now listen to this, and Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Don't think strictly of people that, well, they got locked up, you know, there they are behind bars. Hey, bars can be emotions. There can be an emotional prison, a mental prison. And he's saying right here, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy, the anointing of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now see, this is what God has done for us. This is what Jesus has accomplished in our lives. All of this is available to us, and now it's up to us to appropriate that and just accept it. This is what you've done for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of joy flowing from my head down. I do not have inner mourning. It's not there. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 27. Let not your heart be troubled. A choice. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He doesn't say if you're in the mood to do it. He doesn't say if you're worry-free, stress-free, anxiety-free. No, he says, do it. You make a decision. Here you are. It's like, you ever heard somebody say, I'm at my wit's end? Okay, you're at your wit's end. That's your present four horsemen inner condition. But you make a decision, I will not be stressed, anxietous, fearful, or worried about anything. I say, I will not do that. And Father, I just give you the glory. And I mean, you go through this and you make it your declaration over you. Over you. All of us can declare it over you, but you're the finish line. You're the one that has to come into agreement with all of this, even if you don't feel like it. Because when you do it, when you don't feel like it, you do all of this. When you don't feel like it, you're going to start feeling like it. It will change you. Because this is truth. And that stuff, the four horsemen running your life, okay, as a Christian, that is a lie. They don't have the authority to run your life. They don't. Because they're not a part of the kingdom, and they're not a part of who you become in Christ. Colossians 3, 14 through 16. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, another thing that you need when you're battling this stuff is to be in the presence of people who worship, who are going to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, even though we don't know that you are at your wit's end. I mean, sometimes we can kind of tell when you come in, your face is all scrunched up. And on you know, they talk about having your feelings on your sleeve, and we look down at your arm and say, worry, stress, anxiety, I don't like you. All that stuff is written. But you know what? We worship the Lord anyway. Because we're not going to let you and your stinky stuff control our lives. So we worship the Lord. And if you want change, if you want it, that's the thing. You've got to want to be different. If you want it, you can have it. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind. Stability. Emotional stability. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's concerned about you. Where is God when I need him? Right there. Well, yeah, but I don't feel him. Ah, the emotions. Uh-huh, the flesh. You don't feel him. Okay, well, if you could feel him, what would you be feeling? Goosebumps? I mean, what would you be feeling? Describe it. Well, I don't know, but something. I see right there. You're saying God's not around because you can't feel him, but you don't even know what you'd feel if you knew he was around. So why don't you just accept the fact that he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, which means he is around, so therefore trust that you're the one that's messed up. God hadn't packed up and left. Amen. And neither have I. You gave me that suitcase the other day at the party. I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere. Now listen to this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, where is the secret place of the Most High? Wherever you want it to be. Your car, your bathroom, your bedroom, garage, living room, dining room, here, wherever you want it to be. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God. In you I trust. Surely he shall deliver. See, what I do is I make a decision. Glory to God. Here I am at work. Them old feelings are knocking at the door again. Well, you know what? I'm going over here where nobody can see me. God, this is the shadow of the Almighty. Right here. In my workplace. And I say of you, you are my refuge and you are my fortress and you are my God and in you I trust. When you make that a declaration out of your heart, God says, boy, howdy. Now I want you to listen to what I'm going to do for you. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. Thou shalt tread upon the four horsemen of inner apocalypse. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has, and God is saying, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him, I will honor him, with long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Amen. Glory to God! Amen. There's your victory, man! There it is! And when you do that, the four horsemen, they jerk on the reins, turn around, and head off into the sunset. There's no need. And really, there's no excuse for worry, stress, anxiety, or fear in the life of a believer. Concern? Yeah, I mean, we should be concerned, but not worried, not fearful, not stressed out, not anxiety. Yes, we should have an interest in things. Yes, we should apply ourselves. All of that is true. But according to what we see in God, and we just, man, we just, as they say, scratch the surface of the promises that God has made in his word concerning our victory over those emotions. This is who we are in Christ. This is it. Now, every one of us in this room, every one of us listening to this, every person watching this, eventually, there's going to come a day, something's going to happen. I don't know what. Something's going to happen, and the four horsemen, you're going to hear the clippity-clop of them heading in your direction. And at that very moment, when you start feeling those kind of feelings, kind of rising up, at that moment, You take the sword of the word, and you go to war. You go to war. I refuse to let you do this to me. You are not where I live. You are not who I am. No. I am more than a conqueror. And if you even try to shove a bunch of thoughts in my head, I will cast them down and bring them into captivity. They will not bring me into captivity. It's not going to work. We can live in this kind of victory. Jesus did. This is who we are. And I just pray, you know, Father, if any of us who hear this sermon, who've heard it, whether watching, listening, or in this room, start to yield over to any of the four horsemen of inner apocalypse, I'm asking that you bring this to the forefront of our mind, this message, this truth. You bring it forward to us. And I pray that we will turn around and fight this battle, and we will conquer, and we will win, and we will beat it. And that will be our testimony. That will be our legacy. Because that is who we are. Hallelujah. See, this is the kind of thing where we've all gone through stuff like this. And, you know, we don't want to talk about it. Well, okay. I don't know that we really need to talk about it to each other. I mean, don't have to. You can if you want. But you really ought to talk to God about it. And remember this tonight. Remember this. This is our victory. This is who we are. The past is the past. Whatever number of invasions the four horsemen have made into our lives, okay, you know what? It happened. It's over. There's no reason to go back and live there anymore. You know, there's a song that the Cathedral Quartet sang years ago. It was actually written by their bass singer, George Johnson. And the song was Thanks to Calvary. And in the song, he met up with some people that he used to hang around with. And they were saying, well, hey, you know, we don't see you around here anymore. And they were talking about, you know, the bars and different places. And he said, you know, I began to tell them that thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. You know what? Thanks to Calvary, we don't need to ride with the four horsemen anymore. That stuff is in the past. It is not our present or our future. Glory to God.